everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, happy birthday! It's Matt's birthday, everybody.
Yay, I'm old. Let's move on.
I want all you guys to reach out to Matt through all those means he's told you how to, like shaving dogs and earthquake machines, and wish him a happy birthday.
Yes, good luck with that.
He wants to act like it's not happening.
It's not. I don't want to be old.
You're not old.
I'm very old.
You're older than me. It doesn't make you old, Matt.
I'm older than everybody I know, so yeah.
Everyone, you're older than your dad?
One of my friends. Anyway, shut up.
Anyway, before we get on this week's episode, please rate, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Really helps us out. We really appreciate it, and we really do mean that. Get that for Matt's birthday.
So that would be a fantastic present. Please do that.
Yeah, review us on iTunes. Season 4 is here, Matt. We are here. Season 4. Woo.
Finally.
Our little journey's hit a mountaintop. Season 4. We are beginning Season 4 with Camp Krusty, Episode 8, F24, originally aired September 24th, 1992. Written by Al Jean and Mike Reese, directed by David M. Stern. Finished 24th of the ratings the week of September, whatever, that week. Nielsen rating of 13.5, approximately 12.6 million viewing households, highest rated show on Fox that week. The chalkboard gag. This punishment is not boring and pointless.
Oh, how wrong that chalkboard is.
Couch hag. The Flintstones are hanging out on the couch when the Simpsons get there, which I like that. It's nice.
Them, it's good. It's real good.
Yeah, I like it. Fred does a little, you know, like a little wave, a little hello.
Oh, so weird to think of the Simpsons as the spiritual successors to the Flintstones of all things.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, the first really big primetime cartoon after the Flintstones.
Mm-hmm. A few notes. Let's see. Episode 8, you may notice it's 8F24. This is actually produced in the previous season's production run, back before Film Roman. This is still classic Kasupo doing the animation. This is Film Roman took over officially for season 4, but both this and Streetcar Named Marge is from season 3 production run. You'll notice that in the how they named episode titles. This was potentially going to be a seed for a Simpsons movie back in the early days. They think John Swartzwelder had thrown this out, or was that James Brooks? I forget, one of the two. Probably James Brooks. Had thrown out this should be a seed for a Simpsons movie. But when they struggled to reach the minimum time just for the episode, they're like, how are we going to stretch this out into a movie? So it didn't happen.
That's sad, because I mean, I feel like this really could have been a great movie. I mean, it reminds me a lot of Wet Hot American Summer, but, you know, funnier.
You don't like Wet Hot? Gosh, man.
No. I do like that movie a lot, but I think this could have been better if they had given an opportunity. Yeah, I love Wet Hot American Summer. Don't get me wrong.
And I think I think there's a lot more potential to they could have fleshed out this episode way more than they did if they wanted to make a movie out of it. Just make the camp sequences more of the movie. There's tons and tons of stuff you could do at camp. I mean, there are almost, like Matt just said, Wet Hot American Summer, entire movie, camp. Just make it a really crummy camp with The Simpsons. But yeah, episode begins with a dream sequence. It's the last day of school. Bart gets out. He gets the grades he needs so that he can go to Camp Krusty. And Principal Skinner announces that they can make sure all the kids brought their implements of destruction. And then Alice Cooper's School's Out begins playing as they destroy the school. And Bart, of course, has a wrecking ball, hits the name of the school in the front.
If only that's how every school summer vacation started.
If only. I think that would taxpayer cost would be a little too high if we just destroyed every school.
See, that's why every school needs to be essentially a danger room. Everything's hard light. All you have to do is reboot it, and bam, school's back. It'd be fantastic.
Hard light technology, you think? Our government has access to that, Matt?
Oh, yeah. They're keeping all kinds of technology secret from us, especially that one.
Would they get it from the Shi'ar as well?
No, the Kree this time. The Shi'ar are dicks.
Well, they're bird people.
And birds are dicks, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you're picking up what I'm putting down. But Bart is he wakes up to find that even though it was a dream, it is the last day of school. This is we get them at the breakfast table, just basically setting up the fact that the kids need a C average to get to go to Camp Krusty for the summer. Lisa, of course, is not worried about this in the slightest. Bart is nervous. He's not sure if he's going to have a C average. We go to school, and they're getting their final grades for their summer, their final report card, and we find out that Lisa doesn't have all A's.
I've never gotten a B before. How could this have happened? I feel so dirty. The dirt's not coming off. Okay, calm down. This must just be a little typo. Who, Miss Hoover? There appears to be a mistake on my report card. You gave me a B+ in conduct?
Now, Lisa, everyone needs a blotch on their permanent record.
Perhaps I'm not making myself clear. I think you should reconsider.
Lisa, you're hurting me.
I would like to say, I can definitely empathize with Lisa. I think it was fourth grade when I got my first B, and I was crushed just the same.
Yeah, and this is even, when I got my first B, it's justifiable because I just didn't do well enough to get an A.
Yep.
It's like she gets a B in conduct because the teacher just wants to give her a B?
That's where that's a bitchy teacher right there, straight up.
Yeah, Miss Hoover. Garbage. That's what that is, Miss Hoover. Garbage. You don't give Lisa a B just because she can't have all A's. Bart is getting his final report card. He's trying to sweet talk Miss Grabovel. Doesn't work. He finds out he has all D minuses, which that's very bad. But
I'm
guess...
pretty sure she gave him all D minuses just to pass him and get him out of her grade.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, he tries to. It doesn't work. He has D minuses. As the clock's ticking down, the students and teachers both are basically celebrating. You know, it's the final day of the school year. All the teachers are drinking. The kids are happy, you know, exuberant on the school bus. Bart, however, is trying to doctor his grades.
So, Bart, will you be joining me in the bucolic splendor of Camp Krusty? You bet. Check out this hand. All aces. A+! Oh, Bart, why didn't you at least forge plausible grades?
It's like Homer says, a D turns into a B so easily. He just got super greedy.
I know, I don't understand, Bart. Going for A's? Come on, Bart. We know who you are. Yeah, I don't think you're going to fool your parents with that. They get home. Homer's out mowing the lawn. Bart, you know, presents his A's with all the confidence in the world. And even Homer doesn't buy it.
A+! You don't think much of me, do you, boy?
No, sir.
You know, a D turns into a B so easily. You just got greedy.
Well, so I won't get to go to camp?
Now, Bart, we made this deal because I thought it would help you get good grades, and you didn't. But why should you pay for my mistake?
You mean I can go?
Yeah, I didn't want you hanging around all summer anyway.
Oh, Dad, you're the best father a boy could ever have.
Hey, son. Now, you've got little hands. Can you reach under that mower and pull out that skate? Never mind.
That is a fantastic lesson, Homer. Good job. Yeah, you didn't do it, but I'm going to make you go anyway because I didn't want you here.
Homer blames himself. It's his fault. He thought that that would give Bart enough motivation to do better in school, but it didn't.
Yep.
So Bart gets to go anyway. We go to commercial with that, right, Matt? It's just
we do.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
It's a little short, but it's all set up at that point.
Yeah, it is.
But when we come back, we see Marge packing for Bart for camp because obviously Bart is not going to pack himself.
Bart, where's your bathing suit?
I'm going to swim naked.
Your what?
Ah, sure. There'll be a couple of uptight counselors who won't dig the Bart philosophy, but I feel the human body is a thing of beauty.
Marge, am I crazy or is my back getting hairier?
And that's nature just calling your bluff there, Barty boy.
I don't know. Later on, we see Homer getting a little, you know, maybe it's Bart's fault. I mean, that's what...
It's definitely Bart's fault. That's what happens to all parents when they have kids. Their bodies and brains just start shutting down because they have fulfilled their obligation to evolution. And that's what happens. That's why all parents are crazy.
Okay.
But after that little conversation, we see Lisa going to Dr. Hibbert and asking for a swath of inoculations that Dr. Hibbert says, oh, you don't need those. You need a lollipop. And of course, Lisa is dead serious and says, don't patronize me, doctor. Which that's where I learned the word patronize, and I've been using it ever since to patronize other people, of course.
Of course.
And then we see these Simpsons, as well as a whole bunch of other kids, loading up at the bus on departure day.
We'll see you when you get back from Image Enhancement Camp.
Spare me your euphemisms. It's Fat Camp for Daddy's Chubby Little Secret.
You promised you wouldn't make a scene.
Oh, Martin, you're a chubby one. Everyone knows, but it's okay.
Aww.
I've been there. I know that feeling.
Yeah, I know.
But the Simpsons are all loaded up. Basically, Homer is giving them Marge is worrying over them. Homer is giving them encouragement. Leaves of three, let it be. Leaves of four, eat some more. So,
perfect.
Yep. Anything with four leaves, kids, just eat it on up. Don't do that, please.
Nom,
unless
nom.
You know what it's.
Nom 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 nom.
Also, of course,
any mushroom you find, safe to eat.
Absolutely, mushrooms are totally, berries too. Berries, no problem. They are all delicious. They taste like burning. Of course, when they get there, they see Krusty on a TV, introducing them on a little, like, what do you think that was, a 19-inch television?
Yeah, it's a very, very small television. Yes.
Telling them that he'll be there in a few weeks. Until then, a voiceover name, Mr. Black, who is new, I don't believe we've seen him before, is going to take care of them. And, of course, he has some help in the guise of Dolph, Jimbo, and Kearney, which... Wow. Later on in the episode, you actually hear him say, gentlemen, to evil. And I don't think he could have picked three people who were more devoted to evil than Dolph, Jimbo, and Kearney.
What you need at a good summer camp is strong authoritarian camp counselors.
That you do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They actually ask Mr. Black if they can call him Uncle Blackie, to which he responds very quickly, no. And then they say, well, they'll see Krusty at some point, but definitely not today. It's when we then get a little cut to Homer and Marge in the shower. And of course, Marge is just finishing up and Homer jumps in with her and says, oh, you're not done. Which once again, we see that not having kids makes your life better. If you're a couple, especially, you have more time to yourselves, or at least you only have one kid since they do still have Maggie.
She's the rest.
Yeah, she's the rest. Exactly.
Doesn't count.
We see that the entire camp is a dump. Just all the buildings are shoddy and run down, and they go to be their cabins, and of course it's covered in dust. Everything's falling apart, but luckily they find the Krusty brand seal of approval, which apparently means that the camp meets the high personal standards of Krusty the Clown. We then cut to a wonderful scene of Krusty approving absolutely everything that is incredibly dangerous, giving off sparks, smoking, a clock that gets hot when you plug it in for some reason.
I don't know how that happens. That's my favorite. It's the lamp.
Yeah.
The clock. The clock that is, as long as it's plugged in, it's hot.
Sure. And of course, Krusty leaves and goes to Wimbledon after just a cursory glance at all of these products. We then see the kids at various places in the wonderful, wonderful Camp Krusty at the end of a dock, where, who was that? That's Kearney, tells them, yeah, it's safe enough. And then of course, Lisa is about to hop into the wonderful looking canoe when it gets swept downriver. We then see the kids, roasting pine cones instead of marshmallows because, you know, marshmallows cost money. Pine cones are free and, you know, evil. We then get a quick cut to Chief Starving Bear's weight loss camp, where poor Martin and Wendell and all the rest of the fatties are not allowed to leave until Martin does a pull-up. So they're going to be there a while, I guess. Then where's the gruel?
It's in there. It's all. It doesn't. It's. Oh, okay. It's all. This is all montage-y stuff anyway. It's not like there's a specific order.
Gotcha. And then once we come back from the weight loss camp, we see that they're being served gruel. Sorry. Not gruel. Krusty brand imitation gruel. 9 out of 10 orphans can't tell the difference. See? So it's like gruel, but, you know, not as good.
Mm. Hard. I can tell the difference, Matt.
I'm sure you're that one orphan, right?
Yep, I'm that one.
We then, of course, cut to the wonderful Camp Krusty song.
Up. Hail to me, Camp Krusty. Shores of Big Snake Lake. Though your swings are rusty,
I really wish I could include all the visual gags in that, because there are quite a few. People getting bitten by snakes, run over by rocks coming down from good old Mount Avalanche. But the song is best I can do, so sorry guys, that's all you get. And then, of course, we see Mr. Black and Dolph, Jimbo, and Kearney having a wonderful time smoking cigars, drinking brandy, having a lavish meal, because apparently that's where all the camp's funds went to.
This is also, before we get too much further, Matt, that the song is where they padded out the length, because they couldn't quite reach the minimum. They added a verse or two of this to the song. And that
makes sense.
That's where it was.
Wonderful. I was wondering, because I feel like some of those didn't have continuity with the rest, and now I know why. We then see Homer has lost 5 pounds and gained new hair while the kids have been away. So once again, they're doing wonderful, especially Homer. And then we actually see Bart and Lisa apparently extremely cold and saying that they feel like they're going to die. This is a summer camp. Why are they cold?
Maybe, I don't know, Springfield could be in the northern United States where it can get chilly at night in the 60s in summertime.
Really? Huh. I've never been cold in the Florida summer, ever.
No, being ever, that's never a problem. But I have spent part of my summer in Minnesota. And at night, it can get in the 60s, and it's breezy. I could see you being chilly. I don't know about...
Well, I was just wondering if you can see their breath.
I think you can see their breath. I don't think that's ever a concern. But it's, you know, they're, you know, comedy.
Everything. Comedy is everything. We then, of course, cut to Krusty at Wimbledon, where he is scarfing down strawberries and yelling at the people... playing tennis, which, you know, big no-no, as he is admonished by the announcer and has to apologize to the queen, who apparently he is sitting next to, unknowingly. We then see a wonderful letter from Marge to Lisa and Bart, you know, saying, oh, you know, we miss you. Homer's in great shape. We're having a great time here. Hope you are, too. Hope these jelly bean cookies, which sound amazing, but apparently not so much to Kearney.
Hey, Simpson, tell your mom her cookies suck.
Which, I'm sorry, I can't see any way that jelly bean cookies would ever suck. So,
no, they sound so good.
Right? I feel like I have to go find some and make some now after watching this episode.
Just, it's your birthday, Matt. Just ask your wife. I'm sure we'll see you. I'm texting her right now. I'm going to say.
Now I'm suspicious because she is making something right now, but I don't know what.
Mm.
But Lisa.
I'm texting her as we speak. Make Matt some jelly bean cookies. I'll update you later.
All right, fine.
Traction.
And then we actually see Lisa immediately get a scrap piece of paper and a pencil. I'm sure she's been hiding, and writes Marge back.
Dear Mom and Dad, I no longer fear hell because I've been to Camp Krusty. Our nature hikes have become grim death marches.
Oh, a snake bit me.
Back in line, maggot. Our arts and crafts center is, in actuality, a Dickensian workhouse.
Come on, wimps. These Gucci walls have to be on the streets of Hong Kong by Friday.
Bart makes it through the days relying on his unwavering belief that Krusty the Clown will come through.
Krusty is coming. Krusty is coming. Krusty is coming.
But I am far more pessimistic. I'm not sure if this letter will reach you, as our lines of communication have been cut.
Giddy up!
Now the effort of writing has made me lightheaded, so I close by saying, save us! Save us now! Bart and Lisa.
Oh, what a wonderful letter. I'm pretty sure I made at least one phone call like that during my summer camp experience. Robbie, did you ever go to summer camp?
I was going to ask you that, actually. I never gone to actual official summer camp. I did go to a sea camp for like 3 days. That was like a field trip, not really.
They're like on the water sea?
It's in the Keys, yeah.
Oh, that actually sounds kind of fun. I got to go to church camp for a week. That was, anyway.
I was at a Christian school at the time when I went to sea camp.
So you probably had the same thing I did.
Every field trip was Christian camp.
That's, So basically what you're saying is your childhood was very limited in fun.
Sea camp was fun. It was, the actual activities were fun until I slid on rocks and cut my leg open. Ooh. And then I got, apparently there are jellyfish that don't actually have to touch you to sting you. They just release their poison in the water. And if you're downstream, the poison gets on your leg, and then you're like, oh, I got stung by a jellyfish. And then they have to pour vinegar on it to counteract the poison, but then the vinegar gets in your leg that just got ripped open, so that feels really good.
All right, never going to sea camp. Oh, Lord.
I'm sure everyone else had better experiences than I did.
God, I hope so.
I did get to see, like, I swam with sharks. That was really cool.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the episode. Of course, Marge and Homer don't believe Lisa's letter because, you know, kids always write stuff like that when they're at camp. And only, like, 60% of them mean it. So they just assume Lisa's part of the 40% that hates it while she's there and will love it when she comes back. Which, parents, if you think that, you're wrong. We then see a massive storm take the camp, and it's crazy windy, and Bart tells Lisa, next summer I'm getting a job, which I believe we see Bart do eventually, but that is the end of the act.
Yeah, it's the way they structure the acts in this is a little weird. It's a little
Yeah, act two is really long, and one and three are pretty short.
Yeah, you'd think they would make act one right when they leave, like end when they leave. And then Act 2 would end right before they take over or something.
Right. You know, like Act 1 should have been longer.
Yeah. So, as Act 3 begins, apparently there's been... You get the feeling that Mr. Black's a little uneasy. Like, you don't... It's the fact that he feels pressured to parade out Barney dressed up as Krusty. A drunk Barney dressed up as Krusty. Which the kids do not buy for even one second. But Mr. Black's very defensive. He's like, no, this is definitely Krusty. And Barney himself is like, yeah, I'm Crunchy the Clown. But this is basically, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. And the kids just won't take it anymore.
What do you think? I slapped a clown suit on some wine hole?
Yeah, bud. I am so Crunchy the Clown.
Alright, that's it. I've been scorched by Krusty before. I got a rapid heartbeat from those Krusty brand vitamins. My Krusty calculator didn't have a 7 or an 8, and Krusty's autobiography was self-serving with many glaring omissions. But this time, he's gone too far! We want Krusty! We want Krusty! We want Krusty!
No, we want Krusty! We want Krusty!
I was gonna say, the list of ailments Bart has been given. Bart gives from the Krusty brand products. Delightful.
It's wonderful. I would also like to call attention to the music in the background there as it slowly builds throughout that scene. It's just wonderful. And I'm also really sad at the end there. You cut off the part where he says, you were supposed to break their spirits. You broke nothing. Sorry.
Fish's response from Melissa is, she's in the middle of something else. Relax. And she says, jelly bean cookies sound disgusting.
Well, we're going to have a talk about that.
And you're,
she's wrong.
And you're married to this woman, Matt? Gosh.
I know. It's a lucky thing she likes deep dish pizza, because if she didn't, well, there'd be trouble.
So, Bart and the kids officially take over camp as Dolph, Jimbo, Kearney, and Mr. Black escape on the hydrofoil.
Of course.
Of course. And we never see Mr. Black again in the history of the show, so I guess the hydrofoil escape was very effective. It's officially named Camp Bart, even though I think originally Lisa thought it was
Camp Freedom.
Lisa said Camp Freedom, but then Bart. What does he say? It's catchier, or it has more zing. I think it has more zing.
Yeah, more zing.
So as he takes it over, the news has caught on that something is run amok at Camp Krusty. Homer and Marge are doing yoga as the news report comes on.
Crisis at Camp Krusty.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been to Vietnam, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and I can say without hyperbole that this is a million times worse than all of them put together.
Burn, Krusty, burn! Burn, Krusty, burn!
A group of school-age Spartacuses has taken this camp by force. Three counselors are missing and presumed scared.
What's that?
I'm being told I can have an exclusive interview with the ringleader.
Don't be the boy. Don't be the boy.
Don't!
Poor Homer. He immediately gets his gut back and his hair falls out. Poor guy.
Yeah. He has managed to grow hair and lose weight and immediately back to the start. back to losing hair, back to being fat. And I think this pretty much lays evidence down that it's Bart's fault. I mean, it's pretty evident. So, with chaos reigning at now Camp Bart, Krusty shows up to try to solve the problem to I don't know, have the kids. You think they just have the cops show up and, you know, the kids could just get taken to their parents or something. But Krusty shows up and tries to convince them that it's really him.
I'm no fake. I'm the real Krusty.
Oh, yeah? Who played your daughter in the short-lived sitcom President Clown?
I don't know her name, but she held up a liquor store last year.
I smell bacon. Let's see if he's wearing a wire.
Hey, not the face.
It is the real Krusty. Look at that pacemaker scar, the cattle skull birthmark, and his famous superfluous nipple.
Well, at least you're not as bad as customs.
Which is true. It's definitely not as bad as customs in the U.S. In other countries, customs is fine, but not the U.S.
Well, of course not. A little bit more detail on Krusty here. When he's informed of the problems that I believe he's being knighted at the time. I'm fairly certain only British citizens can be knighted.
The only British citizens can become knights, but there is a similar station for people who are not part of the British Empire.
Like Krusty,
which you never know. Assuming he was born in Tupelo, Mississippi, so...
Okay, there you go. But Krusty, having proven that it's actually him, takes the kids on a trip to the happiest place on Earth, Tijuana. And the credits roll as we get a Frank Sinatra sound-alike singing South of the Border, which, you know, it's funny. It's a funny gag. They don't go to Disney, they go to Tijuana instead. And you get little pictures of them with sombreros on and, you know, little stuff like that.
Having fun in TJ.
Yeah, in TJ? Is that what we call that?
Yeah, that's what the cool kids call Tijuana, Robbie. Come on.
The cool kids. Oh, all right. That explains why I don't know. But that's a good episode. It's a very solid one. A lot of gags. It's a good Krusty episode. Even though Krusty's not in it a lot.
No, he's just in there for a little bit, and it's actually got a little bit of heart in it too, because Bart and Lisa. It's a lot of it is also their interaction. And as a kid, I love this. You have the whole tearing down the school thing, and you have it's mostly focused on Bart and Lisa. And it's funny that the parents have a great time without the kids, and the poor kids are miserable. I really enjoyed this episode as a kid, and I still love it today.
Yeah, it's a really solid one. It's a lot of fun. It's just a fun little adventure story, kind of. Just, you know. Nice sound of an airplane flying by. It's really great. But we will rank it at the end of the show. Dun, dun, dun!
Dun, 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 dun.
Let's see. Before we get moving, remind you guys, please keep sending in submissions of my favorite episode. Simply send an email about your favorite episode and why it is your favorite to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com, and we'll read it on air. Next up, comments from the news group. Not a whole bunch. This is the kind of normal stuff. People going, this show is going down the tubes.
Oh, so Lord. It's season four, guys. Come on.
This episode is a big, it's terrible. And this is the evidence that the show is going to just continue on a downward trend. It's going to be the worst ever. It was so good in season one. Where are they going to get back to those halcyon days? There was one interesting thing I found. Apparently, CNN had run a news story about Fox considering a spinoff of The Simpsons centered entirely around Krusty. I think they were going to call it the Krusty the Clown Show. And I guess it would be kind of centered around his show and the goings-on with his show. Kind of like 30 Rock? Sort of like one of those...
You know, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, like backstage stuff, I guess. But... of course, never happened. Even though it'd be very interesting. I think that is, if you're going to do a spinoff of The Simpsons, I think that's something that has probably the most potential is something revolving Krusty in Hollywood and that, you know, parody of all that stuff. Even though now it's really not that new. It's pretty much like there's tons of shows like that. So they didn't strike when the iron was hot. On to our listener question of the week. This week's question: what is your favorite moment from season 3 and why? Great answers. Guys, keep sending them in. Keep responding. Love to hear them. Let's see. First on Twitter, we have Ryan at Ryako. Has to be the opener with Bart and MJ singing Lisa, It's Your Birthday. Always one of my favorite moments with so much emotion. We have Ryan at EID9. Quote, these are all quotes. So, you play left field. Yes, I play left field. So, are you better than me? Well, I've never met you, but yes, that the Daryl Strawberry conversation is yes, yes. We have Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. A homer at the bat. I still yell at Mattingly and those unseemly sideburns. Oh, we have Matt at Shalmy. The Monty Burns softball sign/dance gets me every time. I know that's one of your favorites, Matt. And we have John at Chopstyle 311. Homer the Bat gives Homer a chance to be a hero, even if it's just getting hit with a baseball. Hashtag season 4 is next. That is correct. On to Facebook, you have Daniel. The Land of Chocolate. Doesn't happen often, but I completely empathize with Homer in this scene. My mind tends to wander in tense situations. Plus, I'd be just as happy as he was in a literal land of chocolate. And we have Mike. I rediscovered listening to you guys how much I loved Homer's index card proposal. Someone getting married in the next couple of months definitely struck a chord with me. Really shows that earlier seasons were able to have Homer be both an idiot and surprisingly eloquent at the same time. Yes, I got married a week ago, and Matt got married a month ago. So I'm both that there's a reason I think we love that episode so much. Jordan, for me, it has to be Bart the Lover. If for no other reason than Bart Homer, other than Homer's well-crafted love note to Marge, I'm gonna do my best. You think I can do this? Okay, well, I'm gonna try and read the message. Marge, baby, you got a butt that won't quit. They got these big chewy pretzels here. They got a business for $5. Get out of here.
That was very good. I'm very impressed with your voice acting abilities.
I'm terrible. Chris, everything Homer at the bat. Absolutely loved it as a kid and love it now, especially eventually learning the Mattingly sideburns gag after the fact. One of my favorite episodes ever. We have Abby. When Homer puts the onion ring on Marge's finger and I married Marge and says, oh, Marge, poor Vu. And a lovely callback to the way we was. It's a perfect moment, and Marge saves her from getting too sappy by asking to take the ring off because the grease is burning her skin. We have Danielle. For me, it was a rediscovery of Separate Vocations, which had been a favorite of mine as a kid. I had subsequently almost forgotten. Bart and Lisa's scene at the end was perfect, and I especially loved what Bart wrote in the chalkboard after confessing to Lisa's crime. I will not expose the ignorance of the faculty, which has now become the background image on my university laptop. And finally, we have from email from Joanna. Says it's super hard. It's impossible to choose between Star Craving Dad's Happy Birthday, Lisa, and the catastrophes the pro baseball players suffer in Homer at the Bat, because the song always makes me cry, and Homer at the Bat makes me laugh so much. These are my favorite in the sentimental and comedic moments of season 3. Yeah, so great answers, you guys. Matt, what is your favorite moment from season 3?
I'm going to have to go with Black Widower. And I can't really say everything. I love going back to that episode and watching all the little clues that are dropped early on that help Bart solve the mystery. And most of them they call attention to, but a few they don't. Because, I'm a big mystery fan. So I feel like that episode was really well done. They had just enough seeds to go with. And then in the third act, it just all just ties together really nicely. What about you?
My favorite moment is the index card. As Mike mentioned, the index card proposal from I Married Marge. It's so perfect that Marge reads her own proposal with Homer's butt hanging over the edge of the seat. It's so touching, and it's still funny at the same time. It's just like, I think it perfectly encompasses The Simpsons to me. And that it can be, it like wraps up, like has all the emotions all together, all at once. Really touching. I had forgotten how great that episode was, and I think that's like the biggest thing from season 3 to me was, like, all everything else I really expected to like, I really liked, Homer at the Bat and Black Widower, like, I really liked those episodes, and my favorites, like, Separate Vocations and Lisa the Greek, like, those, I knew I'd like those, but I Married Marge was something I'd forgotten how good it was and how much I liked it, so it has to take it for me. Next week's question. I haven't put this past Matt yet, but I think it's a good one. It's a little strange. A lot of time we take inspiration from the episode we just watched. And this one is a little bit. We had mentioned the Krusty brand merchandise, which we've seen multiple times now. This one, they've really focused on it. And obviously that is kind of a reference to the Simpsons' owned kind of ridiculous merchandising craze, especially in the early days. Our question this week is, what is your favorite piece of Simpsons merchandise? This can be anything. A book? A toy? Simpsons Sing the Blues?
Oh,
God. I doubt it's that, but if it is, it can be, if you like it. Anything. A shirt? Clothing? I own Simpsons towels and Simpsons oven mitts. There's Simpsons everything. So whatever your particular favorite piece of Simpsons merchandise is, let us know. If you have some personal history with it, please include it. We'd love to hear it. I will post this question on all our social media on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. You know what time it is, Matt?
I do not.
It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
It makes me laugh every time. This is about fail. No Google Trivia Challenge is part of the show. Matt and I will each bring 3 trivia questions, an easy, medium, and hard, and try and challenge the other, stump the other person, see if they can trick them or bamboozle them or stump them.
Or just ask really hard questions.
Or ask, yeah, just come up with a fun question. I don't think we had a theme this week. If you guys had sent me a theme in somewhere, I sometimes and probably got lost in the shuffle when I was moving. Send them in again, please. Any of those places I just mentioned would be great. I'd love to hear them. And we will use them in future episodes. I made my own theme. I believe Matt did the same. I'm going to start us off. Matt, here's your easy question. You ready for it?
I am.
Krusty practices what religion?
He is Jewish.
That is correct.
Well, okay. I wouldn't say he practices Judaism, but he's ethnically Jewish.
He practices. He's like a Catholic who goes on Easter and Christmas. I don't know what the parallel for Judaism is, but you know,
Passover and Rosh Hashanah.
Maybe, yeah, Hanukkah. He identifies as Jewish. He's collecting money for Jewish clowns at some point.
That's true. He is.
Okay then.
All right. Are you ready for your easy question, Robbie?
Hit me.
In Marge versus the Monorail, who does the voice of the huckster, Lyle Lanley?
That's a tough one.
No, it's an easy one. It's supposed to be anyway.
Dan Castellaneta.
Oh, Robbie. Are you sure you're supposed to be doing this show with me if you don't know this?
I'm just messing around. Phil Hartman.
That is correct. Good old Phil Hartman does a fantastic job as Lyle Lanley.
He does. You ready for medium one, Matt?
I am.
In Krusty Gets Canceled, what is the Soviet cartoon that Krusty replaces Itchy and Scratchy with?
I do believe that is Worker and Parasite. I'm not sure which one is supposed to be which.
I don't know if it necessarily matters, but yes, that is correct. They're fantastic.
It's like about one depressing cartoon.
They're great. I love Worker and Parasite. I want them to come back. Bring them back.
I know, right? All right, you ready for a medium?
Mm-hmm.
In Itchy and Scratchy the movie, what job does Bart have in the future?
He's a Supreme Court justice.
Ooh, close. Can you be more specific?
Head justice, whatever they call it. The lead
Chief justice of the Supreme
Chief
Court.
Justice. I'm not here for my government knowledge, Matt. Come on.
That's true. He joins such illustrious people as John Jay, Chief Justice John Roberts, William Rehnquist. Come on, Robbie. These are important people. You should know their names.
This is not high school AP. I got a 4 in my AP government class so that I would never have to take a government class ever again in my entire life.
Don't think that's how it works, but hit me with the hard.
You ready for this one, Matt? I'm proud of this one. This is
hard. Oh, God. Okay.
What is Krusty's full name?
Ooh, okay. I want to say it's Herschel Schmoichel Krustofsky, but I feel like there's more in there that I'm missing.
There is more in there.
All right, I'm not going to waste time. I don't know what the rest of it is.
I'm going to try my best Yiddish. Herschel Schmoichel Pinchas Yaracham Krustofsky.
Wow. I don't even know where you got the last 2 from.
That's his full name.
Fair enough. All right. Are you ready for your final one?
Come on, bring it.
Have you guessed the theme yet? It's not a very tight theme.
No, I haven't.
All right. In A Streetcar Named Marge, name all of the actors who try out for Stanley.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Otto?
Mm-hmm.
Wiggum?
Yep.
Okay. I know Flanders gets the part. I'm not sure if he actually... He Flanders, if it counts.
Yep, it does.
Mo?
I believe so, yes.
Is Sideshow Mel, maybe?
No, I don't. I think you got it. I think that was it.
That's it?
I'm
it's only
sure.
Those guys? I'm proud if that's actually right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Okay.
Mo was the one that I had trouble remembering. So good job, Robbie.
Yay! Okay, I got a couple from. I got a couple more questions from.
Uh-oh. Now I'm in trouble.
Okay, so these are from Rob, Rattrap 007. I see a few of these last week. I'll see a few more. In Marge's Son Poisoning, Marge marks off own attainment bike off her goals list. What are the other four items?
What was the episode again?
Marge's Son Poisoning.
I have never even heard of that episode. Marge's Son Poisoning?
Is it 17 season?
Oh, God. Yeah, I had nothing on this one. Wow.
Okay, here we go. We got visit the Holy Land, in quote, in parentheses, return safely.
Yeah.
Download something. Never change hairdo.
Fair enough.
And try wheat bread.
Nah. Wow, that is a good question. I'm actually in the process of rewatching from seasons 12 on, because before that I got a pretty good handle. I'm partway through season 13 now, so give me another few weeks and I might have gotten that.
You hear that, guys? In a few weeks, Matt will be unstoppable.
Huh.
He will just be a Godzilla just marching through this trivia segment, because he'll watch it all recently and just destroy every question I try and ask him.
That's the hope, anyway.
Well, okay, here you go, Matt. Comic book guy is selling a rare James Bond item. What is it?
It's a photo of Sean Connery signed by Roger Moore.
Correct.
Yes! Sorry, I didn't make sure I get my Bonds correct.
What hockey team does Milhouse play goalie for in the season 6 episode Lisa on Ice?
The Pigs.
Incorrect.
What?
The Gougers. These are from Abby, by the way. And we'll give one more Milhouse question. What country does Milhouse represent in Springfield Elementary's Model UN?
Crap. I can name like four other ones, but for some reason I'm blanking on Milhouse. Damn it.
Poland.
I don't think so. I thought Martin was Poland.
Am I going to have to check this, Matt, and then prove you wrong?
Probably, because I thought... No, sorry, you're right. It is Poland. Crap. I'm thinking that Martin was Finland, who does the native dance. I was going to say Poland, too. Damn it.
Another country also represents Malta.
Really? Interesting.
So, I think that's enough for today.
You guys are really getting good at this and stumping the heck out of me. Good job.
Now we've gotten... That was Abby twice. Two questions makes Matt try and question the veracity of me. Which I don't really appreciate, frankly, Matt. You should take what I say as the truth.
Yeah, I can't do that. You lie a lot.
I think the word lie is a little harsh.
Fine, you stretch the truth considerably, like a taffy machine.
I prefer the word taffy. I prefer the word fib. It's fun. It's fun and light. I fibbed.
Uh-huh, sure.
Okay, so no good trivia challenge. Is over. Next, let's see. I think, yep, that's okay. Just checking my, yep, it is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is part of the show. Matt, I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. I can't modulate my voice correctly anymore.
Nope.
Okay, so where does this one go, man?
This is a tough one, because like you said, there have been a lot of great episodes. I mean, both I Married Marge and The Way We Was are up there. And honestly, I don't think this one has the emotional type component to beat those. So I'm looking like all the way down. And the first one I find that is primarily funny is Homer at the Bat, but this might be one of the funniest ones I've seen. So I'm thinking somewhere in there, like the 7, 8, 9 range. What do you think?
I don't think it's better than Homer at the Bat.
No, I'm... Okay, sorry, not 7, 8, 9, like 9, 10, 11 type thing.
Okay, I could put it in there. I think that's a good place for it. Cape Crusty is it's a very good one. So I think, is it better than Colonel Homer? Do you like Colonel Homer more?
I think so. Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
That's right.
Some wax on, wax off there.
Right? I am. No, I can't get to do it again. Anyway.
It was like it's like a sound effects record there. So Separate Vocations, better than Separate Vocations.
I think it is better than Separate Vocations because, quite frankly, this episode is hilarious, and I still laugh at a lot of the jokes every time I watch it. So I think that's where I'm looking at, is right at number 10.
Make Me Kill My Darling again and again and again.
That's what I do.
It's still not as good as Lisa the Creek, though.
Yeah, hey, no, that's definitely true.
That was a little too long a thought process there, Matt.
Sorry, I had to find it in the list. I'm like, I didn't think we put it above Lisa the Creek.
No, we didn't. Okay, so I can, that's fine with me. I personally would probably put it above Colonel Homer, but really? It's right in that wheelhouse. Really? You just described how much you liked it.
I know, well, that's what I'm saying. It's really good, but I think Colonel Homer is definitely better, but, you know.
Okay.
I had to grow up listening to country music, so,
I know, you're a little closer to you. I'm fine with Camp Presti, number 10. It's a solid, it's right at the top 10, I think. It starts off season 4 really well. I don't think it starts off season 4 as well as season 3 started off, which is Stark Raving Dad.
No, yeah, you're definitely right.
Or season 2, which is Bart Gets an F. But season 4, I think we're just getting started. Because there be lots of good episodes in this one. You can find this list at our website, simpsonshow.com. Break it down by season overall. Probably break it down eventually other ways once we get enough of them. We're starting to get there. Season 4, 60 episodes, 60th episode, so start breaking it down maybe by Trias of Horror, by maybe character-centric, Homer, Bart, that'd be good. But you can find that. New episodes, obviously. Comment on them. Share them, obviously. Find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. And you can, of course, donate to the show. We'd really appreciate that. What's next week, Matt?
Let's see. Next week, I believe it is A Streetcar Named Marge.
It's a good one.
It's a really good one. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's a really good episode. But I'm already looking forward to it. Let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterShield. That's MixmasterShield. You can see all my pictures of wrestling folks. And you can check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour at HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him. Try and find him and wish him a happy birthday.
That's true, but I do hang out with a lot of squirrels, thanks to my recent appreciation of the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl comic. So I'm attempting to talk to them now. It turns out they're fascinating people, but I still don't have the accent quite right. So, you know, let's try to learn to speak to squirrels.
What's the name of this? Her squirrel? What's her name?
Tommy, okay. Toy, something like that.
Tip Top.
That's what it is. Yep.
So good. She fights Galactus, guys.
And
guys
wins. Check it out. Spoiler alert.
Of course she does. It's in the title. Unbeatable.
Exactly.
She can't be beaten. And they talk about gender neutral pronouns. That's Squirt Girl and Galactus chat about gender neutral pronouns. It's the best.
I love my etymological comments.
So good. Yeah. But with that, we can call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the episodes.